most incredible to me, just listening to a lot of that, how God moves. Because a lot of what was shared is a lot about what we're going to talk about this morning, and it just seems fitting. I just want to let you know I appreciate the opportunity I get to share with you this morning. The last couple weeks we've been spending time in a new series here called the So That's. It's a creed of sorts for us. It's a progression of phrases that we believe communicate the gospel. The gospel not in part, but in full. They communicate the big picture, the full picture of what God was, is, and will be doing with us in his creation. They describe his plan and his amazing grace that allows us to be a part of it. Last week, Andy gave us the first phrase in our So That's. God sent Christ to die and rise again. And if you weren't here, I want to encourage you to check it out online. This phrase comes first, and it's first for a reason. It's foundational to everything that follows it. And it's important for us to remember as we continue in this series that every phrase is connected. They are connected. Every phrase is related to the next one and the one before it. But they do. They all come back to this very first one. God sent Christ to die and rise again. And as Andy mentioned that even is out of his great love for the world. And that's what brings us to this morning. God sent Christ to die and rise again so that we can be forgiven of our sins. What an incredible thing. And it's an incredible reality, and it's one that I pray, truly, I pray the Holy Spirit will grab our hearts with and draw us to today as we continue. He would reveal himself, that he would show us Jesus. But with that being said, I want to talk about something fun, something that's fun for all of us. I want to raise of hands. Who in here likes debt? Come on, where are we at? I mean, really, other than Dave Ramsey, who likes debt? Who likes paying other people money for their own stuff? Personally, I love it. I love paying someone every month just so I can live in my home. But I guess it's not really my home then, is it? But I love it. It's a lot of fun. Obviously, I'm kidding. As you can tell, I actually don't like debt. I think it's no fun, as I'm sure many of you don't either. I think it's a real bummer. In fact, you could say I hate debt, which is a little bit ironic, don't you think? You can cue Alanis Morissette here. But I think it's ironic because, as some of you know, I don't like debt, but yet I'm a banker. And at the bank, helping people with their debt is a big part of what I do. And there's all kinds of debt, isn't there? With mortgages, car loans, credit cards, student loans, personal loans, boat loans, anything that we can lend on, we'll lend on, okay? And for many of us, for most of us, debt of some kind is a part of our reality. It's just the norm. Now, my point in bringing this up is oftentimes in my job, I come face to face with the pain of debt. Debt can truly be a painful thing. I come across some individual who's just gotten in over his head, simply has more debt than he can manage. He has payments that he can't afford, and it's tearing him apart. It literally is tearing his life apart. It's tearing his family apart. Maybe you've been there. And they come to me asking to negotiate, looking for solutions, looking for options. In some way, they're looking for some sort of salvation. They've tried everything, but it's not working out, and they need a way out. They need help. So they come to me. And let me tell you, with all my heart, I want to help. With all my heart, I want to solve the problem and make it better for them. So I say, all right, let's see what we can do. Let's see what options we have. And then I begin to ask them a few questions, some specific questions, and I won't get into details. But basically, I ask to see what they qualify for. to see what they qualify for based upon their credentials, based upon their criteria, to see what they've earned. And for some, it's good news. And for others, it's not. And I don't really know what happens to those that get the bad news when they leave my office. I don't know where they go for help or how they try and settle their debts after that. I hope the best for them. And I try and follow up. And for those that get good news, they are momentarily relieved and happy that there's going to be some sort of help for them. But they still have a payment to make. It's just debt in a new form. They're still responsible. And so my question is, have you ever considered your debt? And I don't mean in terms of dollars and cents, but in terms of sin and disobedience. Have you ever considered the price you must pay for such things? You know, a while ago I had a friend of mine come to me, and he said he wanted to confess his sins to me. It kind of took me aback a little bit. He was trying to engage in some spiritual disciplines that he had been studying, and he wanted to do this. And he explained a little bit more about the history of the discipline and why he wanted to do it, and I was very honored, and I was happy to partake in this with him. And so we met, and then we had a time of confession. And he confessed his sins to me. And I was so moved. And I told him, you know, I want to do this too. I want to confess my sins to you, but not right now. Not right now. This can wait. Okay, so I said, I'll get back to you. We'll plan a time. And months went by. It may have even been a year after we did this. And I finally told him, you know, I think I'm ready to do this. So before we met, before I could actually confess these sins, I had to sit. And I had to think about and ponder over my sin. I began to remember certain things that I wish I did not remember, things that I had done, things I had not done, but should have, things I said to people and about people, people I had hurt and let down, lies that I had told. From the real big ones to the little white lies. Everything. I'm sure I didn't remember it all. I'm sure I didn't. And some of it, the memories were pretty fresh, if you know what I mean. I didn't have to think too far back. So many choices in my life marked by pride and rebellion and selfishness. I thought of all these prideful things and how humbling it was. And I wonder, have you ever done anything like that? What's your list look like? Have you ever dared to remember your choices, both present and past? To remember the moments that you had done wrong or had not done right? Furthermore, have you ever considered the consequences, the ramifications? Have you ever asked yourself, again, what's the price that I have to pay for such things? If you haven't, I encourage you to do so. But maybe you have. Maybe you've asked these questions. Maybe you've thought about these things. And perhaps we remember what God told our ancestor Adam, what the consequences of his rebellion would be. We see it in the very beginning in Genesis 2. God tells Adam, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. Or maybe we know the verse in Romans 6, where Paul reminds us that the wages of sin is death. You see, the consequences of our sin and our rebellion, this list that we make, is death. These are the terms. These are the conditions. So the question again is, I ask myself, so what do we do? Where do we go? And I think we tend to go in a couple different directions. These are the directions I've gone, at least in my own life. Sadly, I think there's some of us who lose hope. All is lost. There's no going back. I have done too much, I have gone too far, and there is no hope for me. My debt is just too great. It reminds me of another gentleman I know that I used to work with years ago. And I invited him to church. I was young, I was like 16. And he was a little bit older. And I said, hey, you should come to church with me. And he just kind of chuckled. And he said, no, I'm sure the door of your church would catch fire as soon as I opened the door. Maybe you guys have heard of such things. And I still remember that. And I think about it now. I think he's lost hope. There's just no hope for him. He's too far gone. Is that you? Are you there? Have you been there? Then there's those of us who come to God like the people who come to me at the bank. We come to negotiate. We understand the terms, but we try and negotiate. We say things like, God, I know I have a big debt. I know I've done wrong. But I can pay it back. I can make good, right? Look at my criteria. Look at these credentials. Look at what I've earned. Look at my church attendance. I'm there every week. My tithing and donation record is out of this world. Look at how much I've volunteered for different church functions for you. Times I've spent ministering for you. I read my Bible as much as I can. I pray now and then. You know what? I even practice the Sabbath. Surely that has to be enough. Surely that can repay the wrong that I have done. That can pay back this debt. That can even the scales, right? Is that you? Is that your plan? And if so, I'm sorry to tell you that it's not enough. It's just not enough. Romans tells us in Romans 3:19, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. See, observing the law and your good works are not sufficient. You don't meet the criteria. Your best efforts are just simply not good enough. Or if I could put it another way, your application has been denied. It's been denied. And it's in this moment in our lives where we realize the debt of our sin and the great amount that we have to repay and where we are that we come face to face with the love of God. For it's the love of God that gives us our next verse in Romans 3:21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. You see, God steps in. God, because He loves, steps in. God sent His Son Jesus to come and make right our debt. He paid it. As one song says, He paid it all. And this price we discussed was not a cheap one. The wages of our sin was death. Those were the terms, remember? It was a bill that we had racked up ourselves. And I want us to connect with this. We charged it up due to our iniquities, our pride, our rebellion, our selfishness, our folly. Every downright selfish act down to every white little lie, like I said. We racked up the bill. It was ours. It was ours to repay. And it was ours with no ability to repay. God had every right to call in that debt. God had every right to come not in mercy, but with a bill. And say, all right, it's time to pay up. It's time to pay up. And like I said, it's important for us to remember this. Jesus was not entitled to us. Death was entitled to us. It was not Jesus that we deserved. It was death. God had every right and every reason to call that in. But instead of calling in my debt and your debt and every debt of mankind, perfect God sent his perfect Son to die our death. God himself came and died in our stead for our sins. He did this to appease the wrath of God. He did this to reconcile us back to him. He did this to once and for all settle the score. He paid it back. Because of Jesus, we are no longer damned, but forgiven. God, now through Jesus, offers us forgiveness. Forgiveness. So if you were one that felt too far gone, I've been there. You're not. No one is. No one is. Jesus has paid your debt on the cross. You are forgiven. Through him, you are forgiven. If you've been striving to please God and to pay back a debt that you cannot repay through your good works, and I got to tell you, this is something that I myself struggle with. Even as one who believes in Jesus, I still tend to fall in this mindset. This mindset that God's favor on me is somehow dependent upon what I do or what I don't do. That God is above counting the scales every day of my good deeds versus my sins. Whether he's going to decide whether he's going to like me that day or not. I fall into that mindset. When the truth of the matter is, God's favor on me is not dependent at all on what I do or don't do, but it is solely dependent upon what Jesus did. Not on what I do or what I don't do, on what Jesus did. It's only because of the blood of Jesus that I stand in the favor of God. That's why one of my favorite lyrics is actually one we sang already this morning. I will not boast in anything. No gift, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, in his death and his resurrection. Whereas Paul says in Romans 3, where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. So if you're like me, take comfort. It's done. It's done. You don't need to earn it. It's finished. Jesus has done what you could not do. And now he offers you forgiveness and freedom. And let me read now the rest of how Romans 6:23 ends. I read it earlier, but for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then that's it, right? That's the end of the gospel. Jesus came to die for our sins so that we can be forgiven and then go to heaven when we die. Amen. You should all say amen to that. Amen. Because that's great. But you see, for many of us, this truly is where the gospel ends. We stop here and we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for forgiving me. And then I go with the rest of my life. We have, as my dad mentioned, our get out of hell free card or our fire insurance, and we're all set. We're good. My debt's been paid. Thank you very much. And I don't want to minimize that. It's a big deal. It's a big, big deal. But it's not the end. There's more. In fact, there is so much more. For God sent Christ to die and rise again. And rise again. The gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ does not end with his death, but it continues with his resurrection. It does not end with his death, but it continues with his resurrection. For in the same way that we receive atonement for our sin in the blood and death of Jesus, we also receive new life in his resurrection. In his death, Jesus dealt with our sin and guilt. And now in his resurrection, we find the ability to live a new life. A new life not lived not for ourselves, but to God. You see, the death and resurrection of Jesus cannot be separated. They go hand in hand. But often we lose sight of the resurrection of Jesus and the power of it. We focus solely on the death of Jesus and the cost of our sin and the atonement of it on the cross. And as we discussed already, that's with good reason. But when we neglect the resurrection, we neglect new life. Resurrection life. A life now lived to God, where we are no longer, as Paul would put it, a slave to sin, but a slave to righteousness. We have been set free. And we're free to live a new life. It's a life lived out of worship and gratitude. Where perhaps we do the things we mentioned before when we're listing our credentials to God, such as being generous with our time and our money and our resources. But we do it not so much as to get out of hell or to earn favor with God, but rather out of our incredible gratitude for what he has done. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who died for He died for all those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." I'm going to ask Paul one day to write that a little bit simpler. Okay. "And he died for all that those should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." To live for him. It's a life marked by righteousness. Not a self-righteousness or pride or rebellion. But it's a life marked with humility and love. Love and humility. It sounds like Jesus. You see, Jesus came, died, and rose again so that we can be forgiven and live as he did. Romans 6:8 says, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin one for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." So where are you this morning? What's God trying to say to you? Are you feeling hopeless? And too far gone? Feel that your sin is too great? Like I said, I've been there. And let me tell you, those are lies. And there's hope for you. There's grace and forgiveness for you. And it's found only in Jesus. Or are you striving? Whoa, I said that really loud. Are you striving hard? I just want to make sure you're all awake and with me, okay? Yeah, right? Are you striving too hard to earn favor with God? Either to earn your way into his good graces or to keep yourself there? Or maybe you're worried that you fell out of favor. Stop striving and find peace and rest in Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus, in what he has already done. He's already done it. And it's there and only there that we find our peace and favor with God. And finally, perhaps you're struggling with this resurrection life. This new life that we have in Jesus, where we now have the ability that we did not have before to love God and to love others the same way that he loved us. Humbly and sacrificially. I suppose in some way we all struggle with that. And let me tell us, There's grace for us as well. There's grace there. So I don't know where you are this morning. I don't. But wherever you are, remember the grace and forgiveness we find in Jesus Christ, and only in Jesus Christ, whom God sent to die and rise again. Let me pray for us this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that wherever we are this morning, that you would draw us to Jesus. If we've not yet put our faith in Jesus, I pray that you would bring us there. We ask for faith. We ask for grace. And I pray for faith for all of us, wherever we are, to once again to put it in Jesus and what he has done, what he has accomplished for us. We don't need to earn it. We don't need to get it back. It's already done. And I thank you, Jesus, that you did not just stop there, but you rose again. And you gave us new life. Help us, Lord. We need your grace. And wherever we are, I pray you just would draw us to Jesus so that we can just praise his name. For he is worthy. He alone is worthy. Amen.